to Diary of the Suburban Hood Moms.
Real talk with real sisters. I'm Nikki.
I'm Andrea.
And this is episode P.S. with Love.
Sponsored by Victus Equities, helping people build wealth and retirement through real estate. Today is Tuesday, October 6th, 2020.
Hi, friends.
So, I need to get into this talking point really quickly. Last week, we talked about Nikki's multiple head contusions. Okay. And how I think it has left a lasting impression or damage to her, right?
I'm damaged. I know.
So this week.
So what day did we record on? Was that like a Monday?
It was Monday last week. Yeah.
So on the following day, I'm helping somebody at work in a different department. And I was trying to reach something that was in a tight spot. And I just had to move this rolling rack like centimeters over.
So bad.
In order to get this.
I mean, that right there is your final destination moment. You with boxes covering
above. I'm going to die by a head injury.
Oh, don't say that.
You're my head injury. And as I just barely nudge it, bam, bam, two boxes fall.
With stuff in it.
On my head. And hit the ground. And I yell, fuck! And a girl on the outside is like, oh my God, what happened? And I'm laughing because we just talked about my head.
Oh God.
And I'm like, boxes full of my head. And it was like this thing, right? We were laughing. And I come out just hysterical. She's like, doesn't it hurt? I'm like, it's funny because my sister and I told her how we just talked about it.
Right.
And now...
So when Nikki's happened. Telling me, I'm like, was there stuff in them? And she was like, yes.
But I never got a headache. I'm like, I didn't get a headache. I didn't throw up. Those are my two signs.
Good Lord.
I'm good. And even if I did, I was refusing to get treatment because I refused to have another concussion on my list of concussions.
Oh, man. So
I'm concussed.
I mean, yeah. I'm concussed. I think from now on, when you're having stupid moments, you should just be like, I'm concussed.
Totally. Oh, so sad.
I want to thank everyone who has sent in ghost stories. Keep them coming. I think we have another week-ish. Or two.
Yeah, we've been recording late, so
yeah, we might be able to squeeze it in. Uh-huh. So we definitely want to hear your stories. Oops, sorry. Oh. That was me in my notebook. Oh. We want to share them and give you credit for it, obviously, yeah. Give you a shout out. So, but to the people that have sent them in, thank you. We will use them. And you all are scary. You have some scary.
We know some fucked up people.
Man.
So we had decided in September that we were going to, in October, do a little bit called October Titty Talk.
In honor of, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So in honor of that, we came up with a new segment, Titty Talk.
Right. So this one, Andrea's got the best freaking story.
So, Titty Talk.
Come in a little closer.
let me talk to your friends. So last month, it's crazy that it was last month already.
I know, it feels like it just happened.
Right. So I just had like a full medical workup done. Had all my annual physicals and I'm about to be 43. So, I had my first mammogram. There's no family history and there was no reason before that. They try to put you off. That's another thing that I want to say, to women. You really have to push sometimes for a mammogram because if there's no history in your family, they'll try and like hold you off. I don't know why the doctors care. They're going to get paid no matter what.
I don't know.
But they kind of tend to be, it depends on your doctor. Like,
I think it depends because
there's other doctors that are like, yes, 40, get it. Right. So, it was time and I went and had my first mammogram and Chapel is like, oh, they're no big deal. Like they're not like they used to be.
I found out about that, by the way. Go ahead. Okay. I'll tell you. Yeah.
So she was like, it's not a big deal. They don't like smash you anymore. And like it's fine. I was like, oh, cool. Whatever. So I go in. Great place. Local. And it's time to smash the titties, right? So there's this machine in front of you. And
right away, you're like, wait, this isn't the new machine. Like, this is the old school way. Wait
a
minute.
This is like, there's a two plexiglass type plates like in front of me of this huge like machine.
I wonder if a man invented this method.
It has to have been because no woman would do this to another woman. Yeah. Right? So
RBG spirit, we need you.
Right. So the girl is super sweet. And she's just like, okay, she's walking me through it. She's like, so, okay, I'm going to have you grip the machine like in front of you, put your arm up, and I'm going to have you like stick your butt out, get as close as you can get. And she like positions my boob flap, like on the, make the sound flop.
Yeah.
Thwop. Right on this little plate. And then she goes, okay, we're just going to pull you in a little bit more. And I'm like, okay. She's like, okay, drop your shoulder. I'm like, bitch, is this Twister? Okay, a little bit closer. So I'm coming in a little bit more. She's like, okay, so maybe angle.
I don't have any more boobs.
I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't have any more to give you. I mean, like, every inch, every freaking centimeter of boobage that she could do. And now the thing's digging into my upper rib.
Oh, I would have been pissed.
And I have to grip the thing and I have to angle away and stick my butt out because she wants me as close.
That's a hot stage.
I mean, I'm like, I'm not even getting paid for this position.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Awful. And then she had to come back after, so she did my right side.
And you had to same do it on the
drama
other
for
side.
My left side. Then she goes,
do you have one bigger than the other?
I want to just get, my left is bigger than my right.
So was it easier on the left?
Yeah, because she had to come back around to the right. She goes, I just want to get another picture on the right. Try to get more. And I'm like, what? I mean, it was all worth it. I got a text message like an hour and a half later that everything was looked good and all clear. But it was very demoralizing in the sense that it let me know that my boobs are not enough for even my mammogram.
So coincidentally, that same week, I met two women, both one breast cancer survivor, one going through breast cancer at work.
Okay.
So I'm talking to the one that is a survivor. Both her sisters have had it, by the way.
Mm.
And I'm telling her, yeah, my sister just had her mammogram and she said how horrible it was and it was an old machine, but our mom said blah, blah, blah. And she said that the machine that mom got, it's based off of what your insurance will cover. So mom's insurance probably covered that newer one and yours probably didn't. But she also said you have to ask specifically
for like the new. And I wonder, like, if they gave mom the easier machine because she's older.
Maybe. But I think if you ask next year, you might get that one like to see.
I mean.
But that's what she told me. The other lady, interesting fact, she just started on chemo.
Right.
And so she came in and she bought like 20 pounds of dry ice. And I didn't ask her why she was buying dry ice. It's none of my business. But she was saying that there's some, this like skull cap that you freeze in dry ice.
Oh, yeah.
And her doctor told her about it. You wear it like half an hour before.
Mm-hmm.
You wear it through your chemo and you wear it for so much after the appointment.
Right.
And it keeps your hair from falling out.
Yes, I've heard of that.
I've never heard of that.
I just heard that because I saw like a documentary and she was wearing something like that. And it came out of like the, like in the styrofoam
dry ice cooler. That's cool because she was really worried about her hair.
Right.
And that's what happened. I was like, that's crazy. I love that.
So we just wanted to, you know, before Nikki and I, we grew up, whenever we would go visit our grandmother.
Yeah.
She had in her shower the self breast exam.
It was like the handicap placard, right, but it was for your boobies.
It was for your boobs. And so I remember being a little girl and then come to find out anyone else who showered in there, you would like, oh. You know, it was laminated. So our grandma had it in her shower so that she could remind herself
when she showered
to do her breast exams. But I think it's pretty progressive.
I thought about that too, like after, because that stuff was never talked about.
No.
But she had it in her shower. Yeah. And I remember being little going but then, you know, you have
lumps.
Tissue.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I don't know the difference. I'm like, oh my God. I'm full of breast cancer. And I'm 7 years old.
I know. So it's just a good reminder. It's like, I need something like that in my shower.
Mm.
But you know, what we put down is our little reminder to our women out there.
And men too.
men too, to massage and squeeze.
Yeah.
Just massage just and squeeze. It's like bend and snap.
Yes, exactly.
Ours is massage and squeeze.
And with the squeeze, you're checking for discharge.
Coming out of the nipple. If you have discharge coming out of the nipple, don't be scared. Go. Early detection is key.
Do it.
So that is our weekly
titty talk
for the month of October. So today's episode is PS with love.
And we've mentioned we were going to get on this topic a couple times because it really affected our little vacation that we had from you guys. So we wanted to look up, we've heard, I'm sure most people have heard on the news, on the radio, and talking to friends, reading articles, that during the pandemic, mental health has increased. Mental health crises have increased pretty much among all age groups.
All age groups.
Even like small kids have been having things that they hadn't had before.
So while this episode isn't about COVID, it's about wellness in general. It was a good place to start considering COVID. That we're still in that mode. For some of us, our kids are still learning remotely at home. For others of you, you're still caring for elderly parents who are dealing with autoimmune issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that really has changed your lifestyle, your own social circle, and the things that you do. For others, your kids, it's a different type of stress. Your kids are now in school and you're at work. So now there's that risk of exposure that you might be worrying about. There's so many, and you're still not seeing, like, friends are still unwilling to get together, or you can't just go have a meal. I just took my kids out for the first time in 7 months, 2 days ago. For the first time. It was crazy. It was like, they were like, oh my God, everything.
It's a field trip.
The sky is so bright, and colors and smell. I mean,
and everything. There's people and strangers and faces.
Yes.
So we went to the CDC, and this was done in late June.
So
we don't even have anything current because we're way past June.
Right.
But, over the people, you know, their group that they had worked with, over 40% of people had at least one adverse mental or behavioral health condition, including symptoms of anxiety disorder or depression, trauma, stress-related. And some had an increased use of substance abuse to deal with all these related issues.
This is just the time period of April to June that this 40% increase has occurred, right? So it kind of led Nikki and I, because without really realizing it, well, we did realize it because we're going through it, but I didn't tie it into COVID for me.
Well, because it wasn't directly related to COVID. It's
right.
Not like you got COVID.
Right.
It was all the trickle down effect.
Right, right.
From everything else.
So first, let's start off with, like, what is wellness? So according to UC Davis Student Health and Counseling Services, wellness is an active process of becoming aware and making choices toward a healthy and fulfilling life. It's more than being free from illness. And there's so many different types of wellness. There's emotional wellness, environmental, financial wellness, intellectual wellness, occupational wellness, physical wellness, social wellness, and spiritual wellness. That's a lot of boxes to check.
That's a stressful list.
That's a stressful list. And if you come from a background where stress was never really discussed or given any attention to, you find yourself an adult dealing with stress and not knowing how to deal with your stress.
And stress is so normal, right?
Yeah, right.
So if you can't even talk about stress,
right,
then sure as hell ain't gonna talk about mental health.
Right. So what's anxiety? Anxiety is our body's natural fight or flight kicking in, right? So it's like if you see a car coming towards you, you're gonna take a deep breath of air, like, you know, inhale really quickly to try to protect yourself.
And you tense up.
And it is a healthy form of stress. It's your body's way of protecting itself. But if we're walking around all day inhaling like we are being attacked, and there is no actual physical threat coming to us, well, that's when anxiety becomes unhealthy.
You know how I know that I'm always like tight?
Yeah.
If I'm scrolling and I always see it and it says, stop, unclench your jaw,
yes,
relax your shoulder. And I'm always like, oh, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so tight, yeah, all the time.
I just watched a TED Talk, and this guy's TED Talk was about breathing. That's all he talked about, was breathing.
Is he a yogi?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it was the most important. He was like, there's three types of breathing. There's water breathing, whiskey breathing, and caffeine breathing.
Yeah.
So like water breathing, he said, was like inhaling for 4 seconds and exhaling for 4 seconds. It's just even keel everyday breathing. And it takes practice to breathe. He's like, because most of us are walking around on just like a slow exhale and a quick inhale, big inhale.
And like, so you're even rushing your breath because you're rushing your life. We're
oxygenating ourselves. And so like our heart rates are like elevating and all this stuff. He goes, and then like whiskey breathing is like to help you fall asleep. So if you inhale for 4 seconds and you exhale for 6 seconds.
Okay.
And he goes, it helps you fall asleep. And then the caffeine breathing was actually very weird. It was all exhale for 20 seconds. Like.
Why?
It's to literally squeeze everything, all the air out of yourself. It lowers your heart rate to help you de-stress.
Interesting.
But it takes practice, because when you're in the middle of an anxiety attack or you're feeling very stressed, it's very hard to catch your breath. You have to like make yourself like make your lips super tight, like a little pinhole, and just let the air seep out longer than your inhale to try to get your heart rate to lower. It's very hard to do when you're in the middle of an anxiety attack.
Hmm.
But
interesting.
The more you practice your breathing, the less likely you are to be stuck in a situation where you cannot get control of your breath.
You know, my automatic thought is, I don't have time to practice that.
My automatic thought is, practicing breathing makes it hard to breathe.
We're fucked up.
We're so fucked up.
I'm like, I don't have time for that.
I'm like, whenever I think about breathing, I'm like, I can't breathe. It's hard to breathe.
Well, like when I do yoga and they're always like, focus on the breath. I'm like, you want me to focus on the breath? Focus on the position. You got to give me one or the other.
Because I can't do both.
Bitch, I ain't here to multitask.
I know. It's so much. But if you think about it, and I'm sure a lot of you guys come from the same kind of home where you find yourself in high school, let's just say, okay? And you're like sitting at the table like with your head in your hands.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, your parents are like, what's wrong with you? It's like, I'm just so stressed out. And I guarantee you, one or both of your parents are like,
unless you were a fucking unicorn.
Yeah. Unless you had very aware, woke parents. But
and I hate you.
But the majority of you probably heard something like, what do you know about stress?
Oh, yeah.
What do you have to be stressed about? You know, my husband and I talk about this all the time.
You know what? Fucking Dave. In talking about that earlier, I thought that kind of is, I think, a starting point of me in my youth, like closing off, like I can't talk about anything
right
to them,
right?
Because I can't even say
I'm stressed. Right. And so Dave and I talk about it a lot. You know, his parents were immigrants, and it was like stress. What do you have to be stressed about? You have to figure, and this is where all of our parents are coming from for the most part. You have a roof over your head. You have food on the table. Your only job is to go to school. So what is it? You're safe. So what exactly do you have to be stressed about?
Right.
So it's a very dangerous and narrow-minded way of thinking to think that those are the only stressors that you encounter in your life. And you know
what? It's so sad because even now, like, I can remember things that stressed me out then.
Right.
And I'm like, why couldn't they remember
right
those kind of things?
Because it's like anything. You become an adult and all of a sudden, because you've passed that point, you're like, oh, you minimize it. It's like having a baby, right? People like find out someone's going to have a baby and they're like, oh my God, it's this, it's that. It's like, but do you remember like the nausea and do you
and
remember
the hormones
like
and
all of that, the sleep deprivation, but once
I remember all of it,
but once it's done, it doesn't seem like it was so bad.
Right. It's right? Always bad when you're in it.
Hindsight
because
is.
What did we talk? We were saying something about a 16-year-old earlier. And yeah. you were like, and high school's going to go by like that.
Right.
And then it's like, well, no, when you're actually there,
it feels like forever. It's never ending.
Right.
Yes. And so it was the same thing, you know, for us. I remember clearly being like, I'm stressed out and trouble being like, what do you stress? What do you have to be stressed about?
What are you doing wrong?
No, I didn't get that.
You better go pray.
I got, it was, you know, always minimized. Like, you don't know what stress is. You don't have stress. But the reality is that you do, especially in high school, your life is racked with social stress.
Right.
Like, so much.
Well, and like our high school
was
an unrealistic workload, I think. Because when I got to college, that was nothing.
I don't know. I think my kids have an unrealistic workload. But it's the same thing.
So that's not like, the workload was a lot.
Yeah.
So that was stressful too.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the teachers were all talking like, oh, you have a project this week due. I'm not going to give a
project. It was like, let's all give projects at the same time.
Let's all do tests. Yeah. Let's all. Yeah. So that's stressful.
And you have commitments. You find your life really quickly filling up. And, you know, your instances for free time or relaxation is, they're becoming less and less. And at the same time, your hormones are raging. And you don't know how to deal with all this stuff. So stress feels like, oh my gosh, overwhelming. And then I think sometimes that's why you get like, oh, teenagers are so like emotional.
Angsty.
And it's like, well, yeah, because who in their life is saying, hey, right now it can feel overwhelming.
Right.
Right now what you're going through, oh my gosh. I remember breaking up with my first like, I love you boyfriend. I thought I was dying.
Right.
It was awful. I remember just like crying uncontrollably, like, oh my God, my world is ending.
And you're never going to love anybody else.
Never going to love anybody else. I can't breathe. My eyes are like so swollen, like for days. And then I remember.
You know, you're trying to figure yourself out.
Yep.
You're trying to find where you fit in.
Yep.
The body changes alone are like weird.
Yep.
That's a lot of shit.
Yep.
For somebody who isn't really fully mentally developed either yet.
And not to mention the drama with friendships that can happen. And like this friend might be mad at you or they don't want you talking to them. It's just all kinds of drama, right? So we start experiencing all of that stress. I mean, I think it's happening to kids younger and younger because of social media.
Right.
Which is why we have made a decision, Nikki and I both, for our kids. No, they're not going to have any social media accounts.
Your niece just asked me for a cell phone. I'm like, girl, you are crazy.
But I mean, no Instagram. Nothing. No Facebook. Because
Leave your friends at school right now.
Yeah, because that's just, as it is, Nicholas talks to his friends when he's playing video games. And I'm like, okay, that to me, that's equivalent to talking on the phone.
But he's also double digits. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like a training for him to get into that teenage phase.
And he's like so mad because so many of his friends are like on TikTok and stuff. I'm like, no, you don't need that. Mm-mm. You don't need to be seeing everyone's minute of every day that they're choosing to show. Whether they want to show the good stuff or the bad stuff. That's just going to increase the instances for the possibilities of anxiety and depression later. And I've seen it over and over again. I think our older sister, that's something that she did that was brilliant, that she kept
high school.
She kept our nieces off of Facebook until
high school.
Like the
and
end
it wasn't
of high
even
school.
Like freshman year of high school.
It was senior.
Like
it was
in there.
Senior year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always took my cue from that. Like, it's possible. It's not the popular choice.
No.
I mean,
it's not the easiest
and
choice.
And I've even had mom friends that are like, well, you can't keep them off of it. Then they miss out on opportunities to go out with friends. It's like, well, if their friends don't like them enough to make sure that they find out that they're all getting together, then guess what? That's not a friend. And I don't want that bitch in my kid's life.
No, hell no.
So, no.
But, so, the stigma.
Right.
I know we never talked about that at home.
No.
And what would happen, right? If somebody said, oh, so-and-so suffering from depression or so-and-so has anxiety.
An eye roll.
An eye roll.
Oh, my God.
And there's something wrong with them.
Right.
And their parents get blamed because they weren't strict enough.
Right.
Or it was very much...
I know in the Mexican culture, it's a white person thing.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Stress is white people stuff.
Yeah, therapy, that's for white people.
Yeah,
and that's so jaded.
Well, and it's so wrong, because if you are part of a Mexican family, you know the drama.
And you know you need therapy the most, homie. You know the
stress that is brought on by that type of constant, like, okay, so they really stress the family, right? Which is great. But there's a lot of stress that comes with family pressure.
Because sometimes the family's the source of that shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Doesn't mean you don't love them. Nope. Because then all of a sudden people want to get defensive.
Yeah. And the thing, I think the thing that we have are learning, and we'll get into it more as we go on with this, is the beauty. I was telling Dave, you know what I've discovered in all of this crap that's happened is the power of no. Like the word no for me suddenly has a lot of power to it, because I am not someone that has said no. If somebody needs something or wants something, or can I do this or can you do that? I can do it. Horrible at asking for help, which Nikki's been on me forever.
And fucking Dave. And he gets on you about that.
Yeah, too. Dave gets on my case about that stuff. And I'm now realizing sometimes I just can't do it. And it's okay to say that I just can't do it. Doesn't make me weak. Doesn't make me
a bad mom. Even though the kids said we're bad moms.
Actually, they didn't say we were. They said that we're so good, they had a hard time coming up with something.
Only Ian said that.
Yeah, but he was like, you know.
He's a spokesman. Many friend.
So, you know, that is realizations that have come along.
So then you become an adult.
Right.
And whatever stress or episodes of anxiety, because you might not have even known it was anxiety at a younger age.
Right.
Or depression come up. You have no idea what it is first.
No.
You think you're going fucking nuts.
Right.
And you have no coping mechanisms.
None.
Because it was so taboo. It was never talked about. It was never discussed. And you're even afraid in the beginning to talk about it with friends because, again, of all the stigma that's been implanted and indoctrinated into your mind. And so then what do you do?
Well, then you start to look back at your parents from when you were younger and looking at your mom and dad's behavior going, oh my God. I think they were dealing with anxiety at this point, or I think they were dealing with depression at this point. But because it's not talked about, you kind of just have to sit there and guess. And
it's so shamed.
It's only when you start to have conversations and then one of them will go, oh yeah, yeah, I've been through that. It's like, what? Yeah. Like, why didn't you tell me or explain, like, as I'm suffering through all this stuff, no one's talking about it.
Right.
So that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about it. So PS with love is basically the with love to yourself.
Right.
This is all about wellness and self-care and the importance of it. And it's been
even self-care.
Self-care. We would be like, talked about.
What the fuck is self-care?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of when I first started to hear things like self-care. I know that when I moved here and I started to see girls I met here, because
the suburbanites.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, I'm taking a me day or girls night out. I got to tell you, initially I was like, oh my God, how fucking lame. Are you kidding me? Like, what, you need to have this? Like, I couldn't wrap my brain around it. Like,
because that's what you're taught.
Right.
That's now part of your belief system.
Then I would see, couples with kids going out.
Yeah.
And I was like, why the fuck are they leaving their kids?
Dude. Yeah.
And I was like, who does that?
Like, you're selfish parents.
Yeah. Because
they need you every second of every right. day.
It's like your there. Time to go out was before you had kids. Why are you going out now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So what happens?
That's so
you look tough. At them and they're happy, thriving relationships. And you look at your marriage and you have to go, okay, wait a minute. My husband's telling me he needs time alone. But how do I go and ask people to watch our kids when it's not an emergency?
And you always say, but I have three.
Yeah.
I have three.
Like, who do I ask? Like, how do I do this? Or can I divvy them up? Or, you know.
I mean, as it is, we don't do the care.com stuff.
No.
Like, I've highly considered. I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do that either. So that narrows down.
Right. Who's going to take care of your kids? But then it was like, okay, wait a minute. Something starts to change. you start to pay attention to these people who are taking time for themselves, mm-hmm. who are making it a point to work out. Like, hey, I don't care what. All I know is that I need an hour and a half every day to get in this workout. And you start to add up, how much time do I waste in a day doing something totally pointless
that you could have been,
that I could have gotten in my workout, or I could have gotten in whatever it is that you need
meditation.
To do. Yeah. To get yourself right. But because you don't know to ask for time for yourself, you don't. You just sit there looking at everyone around you taking their, you know, their me time and their girls' night out and their date nights. And you're like, what is it that they get that I don't get? And then eventually, if you're lucky, it starts to click in your brain that this is what you need.
Because it's really hard to untrain yourself.
Very hard to untrain.
Because
it took Dave sitting me down like, I need time with you. Like, huh?
But you hate me.
I'm like, wait, I don't understand. No, you're the only one that thinks he hates me. I know he worships the ground I walk on.
He won't kill you.
No. And I'm like, I don't understand. We're together all the time, but
we're,
it's like,
we're married. We sleep in the same bed.
Right. And it's like, no. He needs time. Just he and I. And when it finally started to click in my brain that this is what my husband needs from me, then it became easier to go and ask for help with my kids. Cause I hated asking people to watch my kids.
Because they're so bad.
And when they were really little, I didn't leave them often because I know how much work small kids are. But as they got older, it got easier to like sneak away. But that was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. Asking for like, I need to go spend time with this guy. Mm-hmm. And just the two of us giving each other attention.
You wanted to cancel Vegas at the last minute.
Well, because Evangeline got sick.
But she was already kind of getting better.
No. She got even worse when I got back. And then she got better.
Oh.
But even then, it was like the doctor, I asked the doctor, like, we're supposed to go on a trip. You think she'll be okay? He's like, yeah, he gave her like antibiotics. I think he gave her a 3-day.
He's like, she's fine.
She'll be fine. And I was like, oh my God. That was hard. That was hard to do.
So we're going to, we each have something different. Andra's going to get into her story, which came about all of a sudden.
Very all of a sudden.
And very strong. Hard. Yeah. So go for it.
So about a month ago, let me back up. I had never dealt with any type of anxiety before. I think the most I've ever dealt with is every now and then I go through my bouts of like insomnia, which looking back, that is a stress reaction, right? So, but other than that, I have never dealt with any kind of like serious anxiety. I've never had a rapid heart rate. I've never had a hard time catching my breath, like nothing like that. And let me think. At the start of COVID or late April, early May, Dave tested positive for COVID. And that was the first time that I felt like, oh shit. Because at the same time that everything closed down, Chapo moved in with me. So that's a major life change in and of itself right then and there to have your parent or parents move in with you.
Having or anybody move in with you.
Yeah. Or if you have to move in with somebody else, it is a major life change. You don't think it's going to be, but it is. It's major for the person moving in. It's major for the person whose home is being moved into. So combine that with Dave getting COVID and at the same time, school becomes 100% remote learning. So I have three. And I remember one night in the middle of Dave going through everything, my allergies had been acting up. So I took Benadryl and I was sleeping out in the TV room and my heart started racing and I couldn't like get control of it. And it kind of scared me a little bit. And I actually went, put a mask on, and I woke up Dave, my paramedic firefighter husband. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going through. So he's like, well, I mean, you're okay. He's taking my pulse. And he was like, you just got to breathe. Okay. I end up falling asleep and it becomes a thing of the past. Fast forward all through summer, I'm fine because what's happening through summer, the kids aren't in school. Mm-hmm. So that stress was taken off of my plate. So now we're just stuck at home, which I didn't mind too much because it was so freaking hot. It was just kind of like, eh, whatever.
It was even too hot to go in the pool. We stopped going in the pool.
Yeah, we even stopped going in the pool. It was too hot. Nikki and I are just recording, and that was a lot of like stress relief right there.
We always tell you guys you're our therapy.
Yeah. But then school started up again. And the first time that I had my first serious anxiety attack, Dave and I went to go pick up their books from school. And we just kind of went driving around. We had our daughter with us in the back seat. And we're just, you know, we grabbed Starbucks and we're just kind of driving, looking at homes because, you know, we need a bigger house. So we're going to look for like just driving into neighborhoods. And in the middle of Dave talking to me out of nowhere, I start to feel like I'm being choked. Like my neck is just squeezing and I'm having like a hard time like catching my breath. And I'm tingling like down my arms and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I can't even talk to him. He's still talking to me and I can't even talk to him to tell him something's happening. And in my head, I'm like, okay, just breathe. You're okay. You're okay. And he finally looks over at me and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I feel like all these things at one time. And I'm like looking around, I'm in the car. Like, what am I going to do? Like, what's happening here? So it lasts probably a total of about 15 minutes, which feels like forever mm-hmm. when it's happening. And I start to come back down and I'm like, oh my gosh. Then I'm able, like, I'm like free and I can tell him like what was happening. And he's like, that sounds like a full-blown anxiety attack. I'm like, what are you talking about? Anxiety attack? Like,
being your white people. That's what white
thinking,
people do.
And I'm thinking, like, what is anxiety? Like, what anxiety? I don't feel anything. Like, I'm not worried about anything, right? Get home, and Fluffer and Mrs. Fluffer happened to be here. And I talked to them. And I was telling them what had happened. And, oh, and at the same time, that same day, Mom's blood pressure tanked. Chapo's blood pressure went like crazy low. So there was like
the first time it had really happened. Yeah.
Right. So they're both here and I'm talking to them about, you know, what had gone through. And they're like, yeah, that sounds like an anxiety attack. I'm like, that's
and still you were like
crazy,
nah.
Right? Fine. Fast forward to mid to end of August, another 2.5, almost 3 weeks later. And I start having like all night long anxiety attacks, tingling up my neck, down my arm, my ankles swollen for no reason. I have like no appetite and I'm like, I can't get a hold of this. Like why? I'm not sleeping at all. Maybe an hour or two a night.
And then you start crying.
Yeah. Then I'm just like, I need a release. Like something has to be better. But there's no relief coming. And I'm like, okay, I finally call a doctor. And I'm like, I just need to get in to see. I make an appointment with my my gynecologist for my wellness, my annual yearly exam. And I make an appointment with a new general practitioner. Because I'm like, I just need everything checked. Just check all my blood work. Check something is wrong with me. I'm thinking I'm going through menopause. I'm thinking all this stuff.
We've mentioned that multiple times
many
on here.
Times on here that I'm
perimenopause
going through, yeah, which it's not. I called it yeah, not going through menopause at all, not even perimenopause. I'm like fine. So get all this blood work done, but before that happens, so I go to see my gynecologist. She takes blood, she's checking for certain things. In the meantime, I'm telling her I'm not sleeping, my heart's racing. She doesn't give me anything for it.
Right.
She just sends me home like, well, we'll see what the blood tests show.
And I go to the same place. They won't give me shit either.
Yeah.
Which I think I'm going to switch.
Right. So the next morning, I'm sitting here in the morning with the kids and they have like testing at their school that they has to happen online. And all night long, my heart's racing. All night long, I have tingling down my arms and I'm like, am I having like a bunch of heart attacks or what's happening? And now it's so bad that I look at Dave. Thank God he was here. And I'm like, I need to go to the ER because I think I'm having a heart attack. because my chest is tight and it's just bad. So I managed to leave calmly without worrying the kids. I'm just like, I have a doctor's appointment. I'll be back. And we have a an oximeter that measures oxygen levels. And I had it on my finger. And so Dave's looking at my heart rate just going higher and higher and higher and higher. Gets me to the ER. By the time they get me on a machine, my blood pressure's over 180 sitting there.
And naturally, she runs on the low side of normal.
Yeah, I'm like 106, 110, right?
Funny I know these things about you.
I know. And I'm like looking at them like, I'm going to die, right? I asked the nurse, I'm going to die today, right? And she's like, no, honey, you are not going to die today. I'm like, okay. And they take an EKG, full blood panel. The doctor comes back in. Now, they put an IV just to give me like fluids. And he came in and his words were, your tests were pristine. And I'm like, what?
Go back and look, motherfucker.
Now, I'm totally relieved, but I'm like, there has to be something wrong with me. And at the same time, the whole time I'm in the ER, my phone alarm is going off, blaring, like timer after timer after timer.
Pause. Andrea has fucking 20 timers on her phone. 21
alarms.
21 alarms for her kids' classes.
Yeah. Like, because their classes are live all day. It's as if they're at school, but they're at home. So I'm the bell schedule. Right?
Fuck that.
So the nurse is like, I'm thinking that it's stress and that might be why, just kind of making a joke. So he was like, no, I had a doctor's appointment later that day with my general practitioner. And he was like, keep that appointment. Here's the paperwork. So the day goes, later that afternoon, I go and see my new practitioner and I just fell in love with her. She was like, first of all, we're not going to mess around. I am sending you to a cardiologist just to make sure that your heart is okay. She's like, I want you to chart your blood pressure for the next 2 weeks before you come back and see me again. She's like, just take it once a day. And she's like, and I'm giving you a prescription of Xanax. And I was like, what?
Who?
You want to give me? I knew what Xanax was. I take it when I fly. Because I'm like B.A. Baracus from the A-Team.
Yeah.
I don't like to fly, but I love to travel. So she was just like, this is going to help you sleep. She's like, and until we get, and she took another, you know, full panel blood tests and everything and sent me to a cardiologist. So I left that appointment feeling a little bit relieved because I had someone that I had talked to. I told her what was going on in my life, all the changes that were happening. I'm like, but I am not an anxious person. I have never had a hard time dealing with anything. I just deal with it. But what I don't do is express anything. I just kind of swallow it. That's why Dave's so happy.
Delayed.
So the first day I took Xanax, Nikki was here. And I had been waiting. I was holding off. And when Nikki first showed up and we were trying to talk, I couldn't even talk to her.
Well, no. I was like, let's go get your prescription right now. Remember? Or no, we had to go pick up food for the kids.
Yeah.
And then you didn't want to take it.
I was like, no, I'm trying to wait till closer to bedtime. And I'm like,
just fucking take it now.
And Dave's like, why are you waiting? Just take it. And I'm like, but the instructions say morning and night. Oh my God, I'm ready to
fucking throat punch her. And so we're like, take it.
So I take it. And it was like going from being on a speeding train.
We were having, the conversation started right before she took it.
Right.
Okay. And at one point we're talking about something and she puts her, you don't know if you remember, you put your hand up at me and you're like, no.
I couldn't. It was too, like, I couldn't talk.
But
like,
the conversation kept going, right?
Right.
And then both your hands come down on the counter. And then, like, you start talking and then you stop and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was like your come to Jesus moment.
I was like, what is happening? Because all of a sudden I went from feeling everything tingling down my neck, down my arms, heart rate that had been racing now for like 2 weeks. And I felt nothing. I felt an absence of feeling. And it
Which is funny because you don't feel crazy. Anything.
I called my sister-in-law And because I know she had taken it in the past. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and she is not the, she's the drug expert because she's studying to be.
Yeah, she's not a dealer.
No, she's not a dealer. because she's studying to be a pharmacist.
Like, so, yeah, we call her for everything. Erin, what's this medication?
And
what
Erin,
would this I need, do if I Erin, take it I
need
with help.
Erin, I need your advice. So I was like, Erin, so I just took my first dose of Xanax and this is what I'm feeling. And she's like, She's like, well, yeah, it's working. Like it, you're not feeling now. Now you're like.
And I had told you, I'm like, you were so elevated.
Right.
And now you're coming down and your body's like trying to adjust. Like, and you're like, no, whoa. I was like, this is wrong. Something's wrong. I'm like, no.
I'm like,
no.
I think I overdosed.
Because let me tell you, she had no sense of, what is when you're clear thinking?
I don't know.
Like she had no clear thoughts.
No.
Anything that you try to tell her, rationality.
Yeah.
She had no rationality to her at all.
No.
So anything you would try and tell her, she's like, no. No. And I'm like, oh, why am I the rational one right now? I don't like it.
So by the time, so then we go and we pick up food for everyone and I'm just sitting, Nikki's driving. Thank God I wasn't driving. I would have crashed.
So we got pizza for the kids. Right. Fucking Dave cooked us dinner.
Right.
And the kids eat and then the four adults sit down to eat. And then we were talking and you laughed at something and I go, dude,
you're laughing.
That's the first time I've seen you laugh in I don't even know how many weeks.
That's how bad it had gotten. That's how bad that for me, the anxiety suddenly came on all at once. And it was like, I was no longer myself. Mm-hmm. I was just like a zombie. And so I stayed on the Xanax for about 3 weeks and feeling pretty good. I was sleeping again and everything. And then my body adjusted to the Xanax. And I'm sitting at home and I start having an anxiety attack again. I'm feeling that, but without, not as severe as the one that landed me in the hospital. But now I'm like, wait a minute, why is my heart racing? And why am I feeling tingles up and down my neck? And now I'm not sleeping again. And so I was like, I'm going to take a dose and a half. And I'm starting to see a trend now. Well, wait a minute. Am I going to keep adjusting? So I did what I am not encouraging anyone to do. I had just started taking Xanax. It was a low dose. So the first thing you need to do if you're someone who's on Xanax right now, you talk to your doctor. Because we are not medical professionals.
No, I am not Dr. Drupinski.
No. But I have a strong sense of self. I know my body. I'm very like tuned into myself.
Except when she thinks she's having a heart attack or perimenopausal.
Then I don't know shit. And so I had been hearing about CBD. Even my practitioner was like, we sell CBD here. She's like, I'll keep writing you prescriptions. She's like, if you need it for a time. But you have to know that Xanax is highly addictive. And another girlfriend I had talked to was like, yeah, I rejected taking Xanax because I have an addictive personality and I knew that I would get addicted to it. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to have to keep chasing mm-hmm. and upping my dosage. I have to figure out ways to cope with anxiety, to cope with the things that are killing me. My kids' school is killing me. It is a very advanced school. Their workload is through the roof. There are technical issues all day long. And at the same time, we're just trapped in this house, right? In the middle of an Arizona summer, which, you know,
sucks.
It sucks. And I'm feeling it. And so I looked up CBD oils. There were a few companies I had already been following on Instagram just because it had been in the back of my mind, not even for myself, but for our mom for pain. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to just buy a bottle of CBD oil. Super expensive shit. And it's a shame because this stuff for me has been life-changing. Now, there was a transition I had to go through where it was like I was no longer, I just stopped taking the Xanax and supplemented it with the CBD oil. And I didn't sleep for 3 days. I think I slept the first night for like 45 minutes.
Weren't you sleeping like sitting up on the couch?
Yeah, I'm still not ready to come to bed because I'm afraid that I'm going to come to bed
and not sleep.
But
you're demonizing your bed.
Well, but I know other people that have gone through this and the same thing. They couldn't sleep in their bed just yet.
So weird.
It is very weird. But I went through a period of like no sleep. And I remember one night I called this dispensary. It was like a 24-hour hotline I found online that this dispensary gave. So I called and I was like, look, I didn't buy anything from you, but this is my deal. And the guy was so nice and so knowledgeable. He was like, that's the Xanax leaving your body. He was like, just the thing with CBD oil is finding the right dosage for yourself. It's really difficult to overdose on Xanax. There are dosing calculators.
It's difficult to online. Overdose on Xanax?
I'm sorry. On CBD
oil. I was like, wait, hold on. No, don't say that out loud.
Rewind.
Erase that.
I'm going to Men in Black like everybody. Yeah. It's difficult to overdose. Like,
no, paramedic, listen to what Andrew said.
I know, fuck. It's difficult to overdose on CBD oil. You can absolutely overdose on Xanax. But CBD oil is difficult to overdose on. So you find the strength that is right for you. There's a lot of trial and error. But as you find the thing that works best for you, the key is consistency. So twice a day or three times a day. And for me, I'm on the tincture, like under the tongue. Sublingually.
Oh.
And I take gummies. And it's been like slowly. It's a slow process, but now at least I'm sleeping at night. You know, now I'm sleeping like 6 hours, 7 hours, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know, because you tell me like a brag girl, like how much I slept last night. Uh-huh. I'm like, fuck you.
Because it's amazing. But what sucks is the cost.
Yeah.
Because it is so helpful. And so beneficial, could be for so many people, but that cost keeps people away. How much was it to fill my Xanax prescription? $2.50
for Xanax. Insurance covers it.
Yeah, because insurance covers it.
Because CBD is not FDA regulated, right?
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's like vitamins. It's not FDA regulated.
Right.
But you did find that you had vitamin deficiencies.
Yes, I also had like vitamin D deficiencies, vitamin B deficiencies, which were also contributing to like rapid heart rate. I still have a stress test coming up later this month.
And you did have a slightly elevated ANA, right?
No.
I thought you did.
Uh-uh.
Oh,
okay. No. Everything else was like picture perfect health, thank God. I have a stress test later in the month just to make sure. And this was a cardiologist. He's like listening to me. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He's like, so tell me what's going on at home. I'm like, okay, well. Well, you see, doctor. And now he's like writing everything down. He goes, so... When you go see the cardiologist for the first time, he put me on an EKG right away. He's like, your EKG is perfect. He's like, but I'm still going to send you for a stress test because I want to make sure that there's nothing there. I'm telling you now, I'm not going to find anything, but we need to make sure. Mm. And he was like, well, I'm telling you right now, you have 3 kids that are doing remote learning at home. Your husband's had COVID once. There is a lingering fear in you that's saying he could get it again or he's going to bring something home and we're going to get sick. My mom could get sick. He's like, no one's having any fun. It's a life of stress right now. He goes, I am seeing this all day, every day. He's like, but let's still take your stress test just to make sure. So on my end, what I'm doing, all of a sudden, I've gone this other route. I've given up caffeine. I'm like 3 weeks, no caffeine. I've given up sugar because all of that is like a stimulant. Mm-hmm. So anything that could possibly make my heart race, except for sex, I'm doing.
But sex releases endorphins.
It does. So. And crying. Now I'm crying more. If I feel like I need to cry, I literally.
There goes my whole bit.
I literally come in my room and cry. Because it's the only thing that makes me feel better. Because tears.
That's a lot of years coming release out.
Dopamine.
We like dope.
It increases your serotonin levels and releases like all the feel good stuff comes out. So when I need to have like a good cry, I'm not crying about anything in particular. I'm just like, just crying.
Yep.
And then I'm like, okay.
Zach will look at me and because I'll like go off and he's like, are you stressed out? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you're crying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to make you food? Yeah.
No, I actually call Dave. I'm just like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just crying. He's like, then cry. Like, if you need to cry, then cry. I'm like, okay. And then it's like, I can breathe. I like let it go. And I'm finding the things that work for me. If there's something I can't do, you know, I'm like, stop. I cannot do that right now, which is new for me, you know? So that's my little, not so little. There's a lot of things I've given up. I was like,
that's not little.
I still haven't started writing again yet because I don't have clear enough, like a clear enough head. Right now, I'm just happy that I'm not having like my heart race 24/7.
Take the small wins as they come.
Yeah. And as, and the more and more you take CBD, the better and better it works in your body. So that's my stress story. That's, so when we took that break from you guys, that's that all was stuff like that was going on. That's,
it was like a good timed break.
Yeah.
We had, before that, we had decided 13 episodes was a season.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like, and then that last week, I needed that last week.
Yeah.
And then even now, every week, I'm like.
It's week to week.
I want to take a break this week.
Yeah.
Like, I almost called you today and was like.
Maybe we should skip it.
Maybe let's skip a week.
Yeah. So we're definitely going through stuff over here. Nikki has a story that she's going to give to you guys. And I know mine ran really long, but it was a long series of events. I mean, Nikki even had to come to my rescue one night. I had a full-blown anxiety attack in the middle of helping my kid with his homework. Scared the crap out of him. Scared the crap out of me.
I know. He was crying.
It was awful. And not because I did anything other than call Nikki on the phone. And he heard me talking. I wasn't, like, hyperventilating. I wasn't, like...
throwing shit and freaking out.
No. It was just... I just stood up all of a sudden.
But him crying worsened it for you. Because then you're like... he's over here crying, freaking out. Like, what am I going to do with this kid?
Right.
Chapo had left with the other two to go to McDonald's.
Right, right.
Didn't know.
Right.
And then I was like, come on, we have to go to Auntie's real quick.
Yeah. And did you sleep over that night?
No, I was going to come back and sleep over.
Right, right.
And you were still in denial and you were like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, which I wasn't. All night, I wasn't all right.
But then the next night, I just stayed.
Yeah.
Because fucking Dave was gone.
Yeah. So... now we have Nikki going through stuff.
So, I've actually had a mild case of anxiety for years and years and years. And like the first time I knew I had it, I was working for a company, and it was like a high stress environment, and I thought I had something wrong with my heart, and because I would get these chest pains, and it wasn't indigestion, and I, at one point my chest just was always hurting. And I went to the doctor and they were like, oh, you have anxiety. They gave me Ativan. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And I was living by myself in a studio in Long Beach. Our girlfriend lived in the same studio, like two doors down.
Uh-huh.
And I took my first dose of Ativan and I knew that what was in my head was not me. And I remember I had called you. I don't know where you were living at the time.
Here.
Were you living in Arizona? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if you were up north or here.
No, I was here.
And I was like, I'm having these crazy suicidal thoughts right now. And I knew that I wasn't a suicidal person.
You just had the ideology.
But I like these thoughts were in my head that I knew weren't my thoughts.
That's so scary.
And I was like tripping the fuck out. And I... remembered I had like these like the big cutting knives, and in my head I'm like, just grab it and do it.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's not me, because one, if I ever did, it'd be a lot neater than that. I right. Don't like a mess. And you called her, I think. And so I walked the couple doors down to that friend's apartment. And, dude, she's like, she's a life fucking guru.
She's a sage.
Yeah.
Sage of wisdom.
And she and I went, and we went to some little cafe I had never seen or been to, and it was, like, right down the street from where we live. We walked down there, and we sat there, and we ate, and she literally sat with me until...
it, like, left you.
It was out of me.
Yeah.
And then I threw that prescription away.
Yeah.
I, like, didn't even throw it away in the trash. I flushed that shit down the toilet.
Yeah. There's a lot of them that do that. Like, the sleep one. Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
I just had it and then it left me. that causes suicidal thoughts too.
And then so after that, I never went back to a doctor for it. I never took anything else for it because that single experience, like, just terrified me that I knew it was like I was watching myself through, like, an outside perspective. And I never talk about it or talked about it with anybody because you get the eye rolls. You get the you're being dramatic. So really, I've pretty much gone through my entire adult life, like, not talking about it, not dealing with it. I've learned the coping mechanisms of ignoring it and, like, sweeping it under the rug.
Which is not a coping mechanism.
What is it then?
It's denial and avoidance.
Well, that's my that was the coping mechanism. It, like, was denial and avoidance.
Right.
And then I do get to the point with my anxiety that it gets me into depression. But again, I don't denial and avoidance. Like, I don't talk about it. I don't deal with it. So really, like, I've just learned to suppress it. Because even in this, I know there will be people that listen to us and will, you know, that label of, like, oh, they got problems.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And here's a great thing that comes with... See, I'm total opposite of Nikki. Whenever there's something like an issue, I am like head on. Like, I need to know everything about it. Tell me everything that's happening. It's like when I, like, we'll talk about, you know, we'll get into, like, child loss and things like that. But, you know, I've had a couple miscarriages. My first miscarriage was really brutal. even as I was experiencing that, I needed to know everything that was happening and, like...
Oh, no, I know about it. No.
I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, like, dealing with it. So what I've been doing this last month is, like, finding exactly how to, when it's happening, like, okay, this is happening right now. This is what I need to do. I need to take this step and this step and this step. I need to change the music I'm listening to. I need to talk about it. Like, I will talk about this all day long to anybody that will listen. Because the other great thing about being married to Dave is Dave's like, well, first of all, he goes, people are going to think what they're going to think. And whatever people think about you, who gives two shits? Because the same people that are going to look at you negatively for being honest about something as serious as anxiety and as common as anxiety, 9 times out of 10, those same people are dealing with anxiety and depression in their own lives. And they're looking at you like, oh my gosh. But who cares? They don't wake up in your life. So it's almost like a, tell me everything that I can do to not feel this way. That's why, you know, not drinking coffee, working out regularly and working out hard, like pushing my heart really, really hard. So like I have this goal now, like what's the lowest I can get my resting heart rate? Because if I can make my heart really strong, then my body's more inclined to deal with stress better. I'm less likely to have another experience where I think I'm kissing my kids goodbye to say I'm quote unquote going to the doctor, but really thinking I'm not coming home. That was my thought leaving, like I'm dying. So in that sense, Nikki and I are different, but it's how we were, it's how the habits you learn young. So Nikki's habits were avoid and
right
and
right.
Ignore.
Yeah. So that's like my MO has usually been like, just put on the happy face.
Right.
Like I, once in a while I mentioned something to Zach, but then I see that worry in his face and I'm like, I'm not going to go deeper in that. So I've mentioned it before. Like I have one friend that I go to, like when these things happen and that's kind of like my, like he's my puller outer, like talks me through it. Like we discuss other things. And so I know that's where I fail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where like I'm still failing because I still don't talk about it with people or look to resolve like whatever the issues are. And I focus on, especially now, like I focus on my other wellness. I don't focus on my mental wellness. But I know...
Well, one begets the other.
Part of my other, so, yeah, goes into that.
Right.
So, and that's where, like, I'm trying to improve. So, like, the pandemic actually, and I think I've said it, like, I've actually thrived more in the pandemic than not. So, like, I work out more, and I'm finding things that make me happy. And then, in, like, more recently, there was a lot of changes with my work. So, I still worked during the pandemic, but I worked a lot less. And the pandemic was an excuse that my boss could still use to keep me full-time, but still not have to stay working. But there's still, there was still that pressure, like, okay, you need to come back.
Right.
So when Antonia starts school, I have to come back. So I'm back and I'm in a different position. I'm in a new position, something that I don't know, something like I was highly stressing out over.
Like, she had an eye twitch for
days,
days and days and days.
Told, like, at work, you would have no idea.
Right.
Because that's, like, my motto. You keep your shit at home, right, you don't bring it to work.
Right.
So at work, you would have no idea. But my eye was twitching, and I was having trouble falling asleep. So, like, I think the first thing I did, like, a week ago, and again, the self-care is really a learning process. I told Zach and Antonia, I'm like, I'm going, and I'm taking a bath, and I'm locking the door. You guys cannot come in.
Right.
I have my music going.
Right.
I poured me a glass of wine and I took a bath, because there's that guilt associated with self-care too, because you take the time away from your family.
Right.
And you, I really had to, like, push that aside.
Right.
And so leading up to this new position, again, I wasn't sleeping. I was stressing out. And so the other day I told Zach, look, I'm going to do something and then I'm going to soak in the jacuzzi, and Antonia cannot be out here. And I did that for like an hour and a half, and it felt great. And then I went on a girls' night last night, actually, and had a total blast, just the girls, no kids, no family, kind of. And those, like, I realized the day before, I'm like, my eyes stopped twitching.
Yeah.
Because I was doing things to, like, relieve the stress, to have fun. And I know too, I also need to work on giving my husband dates. He wants dates. The last date was in January. And so I'm working to get there, but I'm not there.
Yeah, that's all part of the social wellness. There's all different types, right? Another thing for me has been prayer. You know, we've said this since the beginning, like, we are prayerful girls, right? We are big believers. So for me, like, I have this, like, little pocket rosary that I stole from one of my kids, and I keep it in my little...
A stolen rosary.
A little bit. Well, actually, they allowed me to use it.
They gifted it to you.
Yeah. But I have it in, like, my pajama top pocket, and it's, like, comforting to me that when I find myself in the middle of the night, if I happen to wake up and I'm like, oh no, like, I'm awake. Okay, relax. Like, it's a grounding. So there's, like, grounding things you can do, like, in the middle of an anxiety attack or when you feel anxiety coming on, that grounds you to reality. So you don't let your mind go off.
And with the rosary, it's meditative.
Absolutely.
Because you're in a rhythm. Yes. And you're keeping track of your 10 Hail Marys.
Right, right.
And, like, then you fall asleep.
It's the same thing for anyone. Like, I also meditate, you know. I haven't meditated, though, in the last, like, 2 or 3 weeks, because I find when I'm focusing on my breathing, I can't breathe. I'm like, I can't. Okay.
You're stressed about breathing.
I'm stressing me out about
yoga.
Right.
I get so mad at my yogis.
I'm just like, what the fuck? So I, like, kind of put that off to the side. But there's all of these things that you can do to kind of just, it just grounds you and it keeps you. And I saw this really great line that this girl posted, this one site that I follow. And it had depression on one end, the present in the middle, and or balance in the middle, and anxiety on the other end. And basically, she summed it up in such a brilliant way, where depression is when we just focus on the past. We can't let go. And we're focusing on what has already happened. And that kind of guides us over to depression. Excuse me. Anxiety is when we are spending all of our time worrying about what has not yet happened or what could happen. That leads to feelings of anxiety. And what we should be working on, what we should focus on, is living in the present. So just taking literally every moment of every day as it comes. It doesn't mean you're not prepared. It doesn't mean you don't make check. That's another great tool for to help with anxiety, is like checklists. Something I've made fun of my husband for years, because he was like Mr. List when we got married. I was telling him yesterday, I used to think he was so rigid and uptight. Like, what is with this guy? He has to literally schedule everything. And now I see the brilliance.
I love lists.
It helps you. It helps you stay, like, you're not scatterbrained.
I make them when we have to go somewhere and yep. I'm packing. I make lists for fucking everything.
So do I. I mean, now, over the last few years, that's rubbed off on me. You married to a guy for 19 years. It happens.
But I bet you he rubbed them off on you.
Yeah, he did. The lists are helpful. But these are all tools. I'm like, what can I read about managing anxiety? Because, like I said, this thing knocked me on my ass. I never saw this coming. It just blindsided me.
And the other thing that helped too, because I wasn't sleeping, Nikki and medications.
She has like the worst. If there's a reaction to be had, Nikki's mm-hmm. going to have it. We can both be in the hospital mm-hmm. and they're going to give me pain meds. And I'm like, I still feel everything. And they have to like double and triple up pain meds.
I'm one for or me. The other. Either it knocks me like a fucking horse tranquilizer. Or it's like when I had those kidney stones a few months ago and it did nothing.
Right.
So I'm one or the other. But when it comes to sleep aids, unless I'm off the next day, I'm waking up like I came out of the hangover. Like,
dude, I'm
fucked up.
I'm on 10 milligrams of melatonin. Nope. I sleep great. I wake up at 4 and I'm like, I'm ready for the day.
Nope. So what I did is, aside from my little things that I do sometimes... I put on water sounds, but it has to be like specifically yeah. ocean waves
right.
or like a thunderstorm yeah, or yeah. rain on a tin roof.
Yep.
And I've been knocking out.
Yeah.
And I even told Zach, I'm like, if you come in the room, because he always comes way after me. I'm like, right. if you come in the room and it's still playing, don't touch it.
Right.
At some point it'll just stop.
Right.
I'm like, do not touch it. And that shit's been knocking me out.
I'll tell you, Chapo for the win on this one. When I finally started like the CBD and everything.
And I hope it's not coming through.
Well, it is now. It wasn't. It's the coffee.
I know.
Ugh. Chapo for the win on this one. When I was like first like waiting for the CBD to kick in, or I was like trying to get to sleep. And she was like, she's like, you know, I just play a game on my phone. And I'm like, but you're not supposed to use your cell phone because of the blue light, it keeps you up. And she was like, so just lower your screen brightness and just play a mindless game, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, what the hell? At this point.
And then I'm like, yeah, I do that too.
Right. At this point, what does it hurt? So I get like the Color by Numbers app on my phone. And I swear every night I just like knock out.
Yeah,
and I'm
I
like,
do my sorting game.
Chapo for the win.
Yep.
I can't do the sorting game because it's too much concentration for me.
Oh, no, because it helps. I'm like, oh, yeah. It gives me satisfaction.
Yeah,
because
I have
so satisfying.
I have a word find game.
Oh, that's stimulating.
I can't. I'm like, yeah. I have to know. I have to beat the time. And I just can't do it.
Sometimes I just orgasm and then I can fall asleep too.
Yeah, no, even for me lately, like that for sleep, I'm like, no, I need something that,
that 9 times out of 10 will just relax me.
So,
and then I'm.
That had always been me. Sex was my go-to to deal with any kind of stress. But what I've been going through with the intensity that I've been going through it with mm-hmm. at nighttime, it's like the kids go to bed and I'm like, all the lamps are off. Just my little Halloween lights are on.
Oh, I'm not talking about like during, if it's anxiety, no. I'm just saying like if I can't fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's me
that's
too.
Just like a quick, easy, get to sleep.
That's me too. But lately I have to have this whole routine just to like come back to be like normal.
In zen.
What the fuck, man? It has been like. That's why when we talk about future episodes, we're trying to find the right rhythm here so that we can still manage our daily lives and not feel like this is a job.
Well, me going back to work I feel like it's fucked us up
right.
in this, because we would do like deep planning sessions.
But at the same time, it might have forced us to be more efficient.
Maybe.
I mean, it's all perspective, right?
Dave hasn't cooked us dinner in 2 episodes because I went back to work.
Which leaves us to how to achieve wellness. There's ways, things to do. So there's staying positive, smiling. Even if you don't feel like it and you smile, it makes you feel better than...
Ooh. I'm not going to ruin the song for you.
Okay, good. Seek or accept help. Big one for me. Employ gratitude. Being grateful for what exists in your life. Practice being mindful. So meditating. Accepting mistakes and learning from them. There's so many people that do not want to make a mistake. They don't want anything to be their fault.
That is me. So that's like with that spot at work. I'm like, no, I have to be the best. I don't like to go into something blind, not knowing it.
Right.
And both of my bosses were like, dude, chill out.
Yeah.
We don't have any expectation. I'm like, I have expectation. Yeah. So totally that's me.
But since you know that, it's up to you to change the behavior, right? Like everything is a learning experience. Be open-minded. Listening is actually a tool to help achieve wellness. So if you're just like going to just like bleh, spew your verbal diarrhea and dump all of your toxicity on someone, that's actually not you practicing wellness. That is you continuing toxic behavior. Instead, show up and just listen. We talked about this in our friends episode.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. Pick up a hobby. How many people do we know that we're like, they need a freaking hobby?
Oh my God.
Right? We all have hobbies. Nikki and I, we both have hobbies.
Sometimes I have too many hobbies.
Too many hobbies. Travel is a big one. I know for me, not going on a trip, not going on vacation has been a major downer for me. Express your creative side is another way, means to achieve wellness. Keep in touch with, and this is in quotes, supportive friends and family. Not just keep up with friends and family.
Because some of them is toxic.
Very. So if you start to see that the people closest to you in your life are not supportive, it's okay to take a break from them and say, right now, I need to take care of myself. And I can only surround myself with people that are going to bring positivity into my life. Practice self-disclosure. So again, a lot of this came out in the friendship episode, like being honest and open. Join a club. That's another one with the hobby. Practice active listening. Engage in physical activity every day, every single day for at least 30 minutes. Eat healthy foods and maintain a regular sleep schedule. And these are just a few. There were like hundreds of things.
That's a stressful list.
That's a stressful list. But man, the last ones, the working out regularly for me and sleeping.
Yeah.
I mean, you will die faster from sleep deprivation than you will from starvation.
Did you know that?
It is.
I'm going to keep Zachums up. I'm joking.
No wonder he doesn't listen to our podcast. So, I mean, our hope is that if you are anything like us or you've been experiencing any of these types of things, doesn't matter the range, that you know that you're not alone by any means, that there are two sisters sitting here who in their own way have been dealing with anxiety.
Or not dealing with
it. Or in Nikki's case, not dealing with it. And that if ever you want to reach out to us and send us an email or anything just to vent, because you have no one else to talk to, we are more than happy to
read. We had the sweetest email from that one listener. Mm-hmm. And she was said, I love listening to you guys because I feel like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Which was like, that is the sweetest.
Warms my heart.
Thing.
Absolutely. So that has been our journey as of late. We're dealing with it the best we can. I think we're doing a pretty good job. This week looks better, maybe because my kids are on fall break, that I feel like it looks better. Right. I feel like for me, as soon as November 16th comes and my kids are in regular school and we have like I no longer have to carry that burden, I feel like life will start looking
I think up. If we can get past your birthday.
Past my birthday.
Without your birthday killing somebody.
November 6th. It's on the calendar. It's written a dark day.
Yeah. So if you don't kill anybody.
Okay.
Or your body doesn't try and kill itself.
Okay.
After November 6th.
All's going to be well.
All will be well.
Okay. So there you have it. So,
we still, we mentioned scary stories in the beginning. Still, please send us your scary stories. One listener reached out to Andrew that they were sending us one.
We're still waiting on it.
Get it to us.
So get it to us. And as usual, if there's a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about, was that you?
Go for it. No.
Slide into our DMs and let us know.
Also, if you're following us on iTunes, head over and leave us a comment. We love reading what you have to say, unless it's bad.
Then keep that shit to yourself.
That ain't good for our wellness.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And don't forget to like, share, and follow. So that's all for this week. Vaya con Dios. Stay safe. Wear your masks. Take care of yourselves. And take your vitamins like good little Hulkamaniacs.
Now get the fuck out. Peace.